I have a few verses on my heart in Hebrews, and what has been the reason for these verses is the passage in Colossians that we had, which certainly spoke of growth, and the Apostle Paul, in his desire for the saints, in his prayer that he expressed in that first chapter, he clearly shows that he desired that they would grow, that there would be more understanding entering into that which is theirs in Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 5, the last verses, we have, I believe, verses that can help us in this respect. And my thought is especially to make us aware from these scriptures, these verses, what might be a hindrance to spiritual growth. I believe these verses will bring that before us very clearly. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10, called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Stop here. I believe that we all desire, do we not, to grow. If we belong to the Lord Jesus and are His, we desire to grow. I remember a little boy of a family who was very much upset that he felt he wasn't growing as fast as his brothers, who were growing quite tall. Well, he did grow to be tall, just about like his brothers. But I believe this is even in the natural realm, so that we desire to grow. We desire to see our children grow. It's wonderful to take a little child in our arms and to handle them and show them love and affection. And that's probably one of the most wonderful times in our lives, when they're little and so unspoiled from the things of the world and not influenced by coming in contact with that which is wicked, which is of the enemy. But we do not desire that they stay that way. And just like we, in the natural realm, do not desire our children to stay little, that they grow and mature. So I believe our God, our Father, the Lord Jesus, would like to see us grow and enter into that which is ours. And we see here that the apostle interrupts that which he had been putting before the saints concerning the Lord Jesus, the high priest. And he interrupts that and he gives a word of warning, as he does more often in the epistle to the Hebrews. You know, we have interruptions in the epistle to the Hebrews and words of warnings given. And I believe what we have to understand when we come to this passage is that the whole epistle is written with the purpose of weaning the saints, the Christians, from that which all had to do with the types and shadows, with Judaism, ritualism, which at one time had been instituted of God. And God patiently bore with his people, realizing how difficult it was for them to realize that there was no more value in any of these things that had to do with the types and shadows. But the time had come that God makes a real effort now of weaning them away from these things, turning their back on it. You might say, in God's dealings with his earthly people, the time had come that God says, as it were, now it's enough. I've borne enough in patience with you. Now, in faith, step forward. Leave that which has no more value. And I believe this example here is really something that we can learn from, and I'm sure that in our lives there might be things that God patiently bears with us. Maybe it isn't, like here, something that God at one time had instituted, but we all are slow learners in the things of God, and I'm sure if we look at ourselves, we have to acknowledge that if we would have really gone on with the Lord and not gone on detours and continued on the path of faith straight, we would have grown much more than we have grown. But the Lord is patient with us as well. But we have to perhaps come to see that there are things in our lives that we have to leave, and that we have to turn our back on in order that we might not be hindered in spiritual growth and development. Now, I'm not here to try to tell you what that might be. The Lord can show you what there might be in your life that is a hindrance to spiritual growth and development. And I believe being dull of hearing could be our condition. You know, the Lord might bring certain truths of Scripture before us to try to help us and to help us to be weaned from certain things which are a hindrance to spiritual growth. And we do not open our ears. You know, how often do we have in the Word of God that him that has an ear, hear? You know, all would be to God that we would, beloved, when the Lord brings before us any truth of Scripture, be willing and ready to bow, really accept it, and ask God for grace to walk in it. You know, what impressed me when I read the biography of Mr. Darby, I believe, the statement that his uncle must have made about him, that in all of England he knew none more capable than John, but he bows to this book like a fool. I believe that is one of the highest commendations that anyone could be given or could give to any Christian. And is that perhaps the secret why God could give him such an insight into the truth of God, and that you and I are still benefiting from that which has been presented to us through his ministry and service. So may the Lord give us grace that we are not dull of hearing, that we have an open ear, that we have an open heart. And I believe it has often been said, and it is true, that the Lord, if he shows us something in his word and makes it clear that this is his mind and will for us, and if we do not walk in it, do not bow to it, and do not walk in it, he's not going to show us more. So may the Lord help us that we do not have an ear that is dull of hearing. And then according to the time, there should be teachers. You know, we have perhaps many times the ministry on the gifts, and we had had some of those gifts mentioned, and I'm afraid many times we overemphasize gifts of public speaking. And perhaps we lack even in this respect, that we do not magnify those things that are of such great importance. The service that the individual can perform to another individual on an individual basis, which is not noticed much by the general public, but the Lord takes notice of it, and perhaps that is where more saints are held and souls are blessed than by public speaking and ministry. But here the teaching is not that somebody along the way acquires the gift of teaching. No, but we have, like for instance with the overseer, that it was desirable that he was apt to teach. He had a measure of ability to pass on what he himself enjoyed, what he had himself come to appreciate and to know, that had been made good for his own soul, and so he could pass it on. And we have this kind of thing here. I believe when the Lord helps us to bow to his word and gives us a submissive spirit and turn our back on that which he clearly shows us to be a hindrance to spiritual development and growth, then he can also use us to teach others and pass on the things that we ourselves enjoy. So according to the time, they were safe long enough that they could have taught others. You know, I've enjoyed a thought that a brother Clausen has brought before us. You know, we had had some comments made during these meetings about men and the systems of men try to push people forward into public service and do that prematurely. But you know, when somebody was going to get married in the Old Testament, for a whole year he was not to go to war. What a lesson we have in that, that when we are saved, that it is a natural part, or the part of a natural development in a spiritual sense, that we, as it were, stay home, that we in quietness, in communion and fellowship with the Lord and his people, learn and grow so that we are fit to go out in things of a larger sphere of service. Well, here they were safe long enough that they should be able to go forth, you might say, to be of help to others, but they had not developed. And so they had to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God, and they needed milk. You know, in Peter we have milk mentioned, that as newborn babe, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word. I believe we never outgrow the need for milk in a spiritual sense, as Peter presents it. But here we have milk presented as something that is for the babe, for those who are newly saved. And meat, solid food, is for those who are full grown. You know, full growth means not that we, and perfection is the word rendered in other scriptures for the same word that is full growth, is not that we reach sinless perfection, but that we, by the grace of God and by the help of the Spirit of God, enter into an understanding and appreciation of what is really true Christian position. And that is a possibility for you and for me to attain to, even now, so that we can, as it were, feed on that which is for men, for those who are full grown. You know, we hear so oftentimes the statement, much of what that brother said went way above my head. Well, one brother once said, maybe the answer to that would be, why don't you grow a little? Why don't you grow a little? You know, certainly I believe that many times we do not take into consideration the needs of those who are babes in Christ. But can we cater to those who are spiritually lazy and have not used diligence in the things of God and, as it were, water down the ministry and try to always be on the level of the babes in Christ? Well, let us be careful that we do not go off in extremes, but may the Lord help us that we all truly grow and help each other in growing. Paul here, by the Spirit of God, is laboring with the saints that they might lose that or give up that which is a hindrance, in order that they might come into the enjoyment of that which God had for them, which he would have liked to develop more. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, I believe it's a wonderful thing, believers, young brothers, real desirous to get into the Word of God, and many times I'm afraid that might be to quite an extent an intellectual exercise, and there's certainly justification for warning young people not to enter into these things intellectually. But I believe, beloved, that the Lord, being faithful, will bring us into circumstances that we will learn the truth practically. I still like to see young brothers get exercise about searching out the truth of God and making it their own and crying to the Lord for grace to practice what he shows them out of his word. You know, what is going to happen if the Lord should tarry to the testimony if you do not, as a young person, desire to search out the truth of God and make it your own? You know, when I was a young believer, growing up in Germany, we sat different. You know, the arrangement in different countries is different, and you just go along with whatever is the custom wherever you happen to live, because these are not to be made issues amongst the people of God. But the older brethren were sitting close to the table, and then the middle-aged ones and the youngest ones were sitting in the back, and that's where I was sitting. And the brother, who was a real help to me, he said to me one time, why don't we ever hear your voice in the meeting? You seem to have an interest in the truth of God. Why don't we ever hear your voice? Oh, I said, brother, how can you expect me to say anything when all those brothers in front of me, between the table and me, hardly ever say anything? Oh, he said, brother, many of them have lost the connection. I believe, dear young brothers, that when you look into the scriptures, you find that God used men, generally speaking, who started out being exercised in the things of God as young men. Just think about it and search it out. So may the Lord give you a really desire to search things out and grow spiritually. The Lord will bring you into circumstances that you will learn it practically, that you will not, as it were, only have these things intellectually. Well, the sixth chapter here, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, or the beginning of Christ, is really the thought that refers to Judaism. And this is what the problem was with these believers here. And the later part of this chapter, which we have not read, the following verses, even showed that for those among the people of God who were not truly believers, because that was one of the problems that the early church already had, that there were those among the people of God who claimed to be Christians but were not real. But because of the danger of, or because of the fact that they continued to cling to the types and shadows, they were in danger of turning their back completely upon Christianity and go back into Judaism, apostatizing from the Christian faith. Now that's another danger that exists for those who are not really the Lord. But for the believer clinging to the types and shadows is that which slows down growth. You know, in Christendom we have a lot of things, beloved, which are really nothing else but Judaism. And if you happen to accept practices and doctrines and teachings that are really, in principle, Judaistic, and I believe that's possible for us, and you find that many times to be the case, well, that is, hinders growth and development. And here, they are encouraged to leave the things that belong to Judaism, go on to perfection. In the early days of the church, they continued to go to the temple. They met in the houses remembering the Lord. But I'm sure it's correct to say, when in Acts we find that many priests believed, they continued to serve in the temple. But they were to leave that, turn their back on it, go on to perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from death works. And these things that we're reading now, beloved, are things connected with Judaism. Of faith towards God. You might say, well, listen, brother, don't we have to have faith in God? Certainly, but we have much more. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. Christianity is not just having faith in God. We have the full revelation of God who has come in the person of his Son here on this earth. And that's what we have. Christianity is much more than facing God. We have to leave that. We have to go on to perfection. And then laying again foundation of repentance from dead works. Well, again, don't you see similar things in Christendom? Always coming as poor, repenting sinners. You know, the work of God in different lands was different. In Germany, in contrast to England, where especially the truth of the assembly was brought before the saints of God by the Spirit of God and brought them out of the systems, in Germany it was that they came to see that we are no longer sinners who always have to come and ask for forgiveness, that they have a perfect standing in Christ. By one offering, he has perfected forever the sanctified, or unblameable, irreproachable in his sight. That was the truth that came before them, and that's the opposite of what we have here, repentance from death works. You know, if we sin, the scripture says, then we should come and confess our sins, certainly, but it is not the same as we have it, asking over and over again to be forgiven. We're taking sides with God against anything that might come up in our lives, and we judge it in his presence for what it is. I hope the Lord will give us grace to do that whenever that is brought to our attention. But this is not what is here before us, repentance from dead works. And of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, that is washing, all that was connected with the service in the sanctuary, how many things had to be washed. The priest had to be washed. The sacrifices, part of that had to be washed. All of these things have come to an end. The laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. What do we have in Christianity? Mary and Martha did not understand when the Lord was trying to make them aware that he was the resurrection of the and the life, and that there is in Christianity now something far more than the resurrection of the dead. We have the resurrection from among the dead. You know, we have not in the Old Testament a revelation of what we have in Christianity, of the first and second resurrection, the resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto judgment. You know, we see in Christendom, they still speak of a general resurrection. They still don't have more understanding than Mary and Martha at the time of the death of Lazarus. Well, they haven't gone on to perfection. And of eternal judgment. You know, we know from what we have now in the New Testament how many different judgments there are. You know, and even now the judgment has begun at the house of God. We know that there is more than just a general judgment at the last day. We have the Word of God giving us full information on all of these things. And so Paul says, and this will we do if God permits. This will we do, leaving the things connected with Judaism and going on to perfection. We might be permitted to say, this is not only what we will do, this is what God expects us to do. This is what God expects us to do. And that is not in any way irreverent or any way sliding any part of the Word of God for us to come into a better and fuller understanding of what is truly Christian. So may the Lord help us, beloved, to do that. But I'm sure there are other things that we could turn to in the Word of God that would hinder growth and development. But these were the things that came before me, because I believe some of these thoughts already had been expressed in connection with a meditation on Colossians chapter 1. So really, I'm sure to state again, do we not all want to grow? Do we not all want to come to know the Lord Jesus better? You know, the truth of the person of the Lord Jesus as our high priest. My, would you not want to come to understand that better, what he is for us now? Not only what he will be for us in that coming day throughout eternity, but what he is for us now. You know, it's a wonderful thought to think of. For all eternity, the Lord Jesus is there for us. And what a wonderful portion it is going to be to look on him, to come to see him face to face. But how wonderful to really come to know him in the way as he is revealed or wants to reveal himself in our relationship now. He wants to be our great high priest. He is our great high priest, but he wants us to come to know him, our advocate. He is at our side, and he wants us to come to enjoy and appreciate himself and the things that he has won for us through his death on Calvary's cross.